Greetings to the brightest audience in Colorado, listening via KLTT AM 670, the 50,000-watt Christian blowtorch of the Rocky Mountains. I am not Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church. I am Doug McBurney, host of the Weekly Worldview. Welcome to the brightest audience in the nation as well, and the world via KGOV.com. And in the studio today, joining me is my other brother, Daryl. Welcome to Bob Enyart Live Studios,
Daryl. Hello, Doug.
And we want to thank everyone over at KLTT, the 50,000-watt blowtorch, for the great work they do in making sure that the four corners, how many states, five, six states that we reach every day, it's just fabulous. What an awesome station. If you want to call the broadcast, if you'd like to be a part of the broadcast, you know the number. It's 1-800-836-9278. We'd be happy to take your calls. And we're going to begin, Daryl. Are you ready?
I'm ready, Doug.
You ready? Are you fired up?
I'm fired up.
Have you noticed there's a little bundle in the studio here next to the microphone? There's a little bundle here, and it's all wrapped up, and it's tied with a rubber band. You see this, Daryl?
Oh, no, you better not mess with that.
There's a bundle here, and it's labeled, Don't Toss, Don't Open, Bob, September 2009. What do you think is the deal here?
I have no idea.
By the way, folks, Daryl and I are sitting in for Bob. Bob is working on a top secret project to set things straight. You'll learn more about it in a couple of weeks.
Is it like the New World Order?
No, it's not. Well, I would like to see it. Be a part of the New World Order, but it's not officially a part of the New World Order as it is currently constructed.
Ah.
No, but this bundle, Bob, if you're out there, if you're listening, I've been looking at this bundle sitting next to the microphone all week, and I must say I'm very tempted to not to toss it. I'm not tempted to toss it in the trash at all.
But you really want to see what's inside.
I really want to open it up and see what it is, because it's obviously been packaged here quietly since September of 2009, and it has Bob's little inscription on it. Anyway, I'm going to set it aside. I have not opened it. Daryl, you can attest to that, right?
Don't touch it.
I have not opened it. But I keep looking at it out of the corner of my eye.
I see that.
All right, folks, the jobless rate, the report came in this morning. The unemployment rate officially nationwide, 10.2%, the highest unemployment rate since 1983. Now, I thought I remember George W. Bush, before he rode off into the sunset there, I thought he passed the Troubled Assets Relief Program, and that was supposed to avoid double-digit unemployment.
Well, I think so. And didn't our president, the next president, also even improve on that?
I think Barry Ho, didn't he do a stimulus package and that was specifically designed to avoid a double-digit unemployment?
Yeah, it was going to stimulate something.
I'm not sure what happened there. It's as hard looking for a job today as it was back in 1983.
Man,
that's going back a long ways. I wasn't even looking for work in 1983.
I was.
Not me. I was in I was in high school in 1983. I wasn't looking for work, but from what I understand, things were quite bad in 1983.
Yes, they were.
Well, it's bad today. But listen to this. I've got a story out of New York. There's a fellow named Jason Sadler. He's a former marketing professional from Florida. He's a young guy. He's in his 20s. He found himself unemployed a year and a half or so ago. So instead of going out and looking for a job, he founded his own company. It's called www. I don't even have to say that anymore, do I?
No.
Okay. It's called iwearyourshirt.com. It's basically a human billboard service. He wears a t-shirt supplied by any company, takes pictures of himself, shoots videos of himself, and then uses social media to promote him in the t-shirt. And now he charges what he calls face value for any day. January 1st, if you contract with him, it'll cost you $1. If you contract with them on December 31st, it costs $365 to do the human billboard thing. Anyway, it all adds up to about $66,000 a year if he sells out every day, which he did this year.
Sweet.
Now, he also sells monthly sponsorships for $1,500. That's added another $18,000 to his income. So let's see, I went to public school, but that's over $80,000 that this fellow Jason Sadler made this year. And by the way, the average U.S. wage for a working class dog is about $615 a week or $32,000 a year.
That's so, an entrepreneur.
Yeah, Jason could not find himself a $32,000 a year job, and so he started his own company. He made $83,000.
He made a job.
He made a job of his own. So thank heaven we still live in a country where the entrepreneurial spirit hasn't been completely snuffed out by the socialists.
That's right.
That's right. That's so America is still a great and wonderful country. But I'm angry today, Daryl.
Why is that?
I'm angry over this chump at Fort Hood. Okay?
Oh, man.
Now, I'm angry about two things. I'm angry that this chump at, by the way, this guy's name is Nidal Malik Hassan. Did you get that?
You do that so well.
Nidal Malik Hassan. Now, Nidal Malik Hassan shot and killed 13 people, wounded some 30 people there at Fort Hood, and I'm angry at him. I'm angry. I'm physically, I can taste it in the back of my throat. I'm so angry at this
guy. Well, I understand.
I am filled with rage against this guy, and you know what bothers me, Daryl?
What's that?
Is that from the president right on down to the leader of the conservative world on the radio, who I won't name any of them, every one of them is saddened by this tragedy. Well, I'm angered by this assault, okay? And I'm sick of Americans not getting angry when we're assaulted and brutally killed and murdered by enemies of our country. We need to get angry.
Amen.
Stop being sad. Stop crying and whining. I can guarantee you the men and women who were wounded there at Fort Hood, they're not saddened by this tragedy. They're outraged, and they're out for blood and vengeance against this scumbag, Nadil Malik Hassan.
Now, there were lots of witnesses to that, right?
You know, he wounded 30 people, and he killed 13 unarmed guys. These are fellas, Daryl, who are about to be deployed. From what we understand, they were standing in line to get inoculated, to get their ears and eyes checked before they're shipped overseas to defend liberty and freedom against the Islamic maniacs in Afghanistan and Iraq. And they're probably stripped. They're probably in their skivvies, you know, standing in line.
Now, somehow,
unarmed guys.
He has survived somehow.
Yeah. Now, there were a lot of witnesses. He killed 13. There were 30 wounded. I believe there were 100 or so people in the room who witnessed this crime. And he was shot on the scene. And it seems to me fairly obvious that he is the shooter, not the alleged shooter. By the way, the Associated Press, let me tell you how they classify this on Yahoo News. An Army psychiatrist is suspected of opening fire on fellow soldiers at Fort Hood.
So there's suspicions.
There's some serious suspicions that he opened fire. Now, he didn't kill, murder, slaughter, slay. He opened fire. They suspect. Yeah, there are some suspicions against Nidal Malik Hassan.
So when do you think they'll come to some conclusions?
Well, there hasn't been a trial yet, even though there is overwhelming evidence that Nidal Malik Hassan carried out this vicious, brutal terrorist attack.
No doubt.
I mean, could you call it anything but a terrorist attack when someone walks into a room and starts shooting unarmed people?
Absolutely not.
It's a terrorist attack. Anyway, he has not gone on trial yet, Daryl. He remains hospitalized on a ventilator, last report. And this really upsets me, too. The Associated Press says that Hassan was among 30 people wounded in the spree. He was among 30 people.
Among the wounded?
Wounded, yeah.
Does that remind you of Columbine at all?
I remember that after Columbine, that a number of folks who were involved, a number of fellas who who were involved encouraged the news media not to count the murderers among the dead. And it seemed that we had made some progress in that. In recent reports in these mass killings, it seems we had made some headway as to encouraging the news media not to classify the murderers with their victims. But here we see that the journalism world is falling down yet again.
Aaron. Oh man,
it's just sad. But I want to ask the audience a question. I want to ask you a question, Daryl.
Okay,
who's responsible for killing more innocent Americans? Is it Muslims like Nidal Malik Hassan and Osama bin Laden and Abdullah Sheikh whoever? I mean, you just pick your favorite Muslim terrorist. Have they killed more Americans, or has it been the average product of the public school recently divorced in financial trouble?
Oh, man, if you could accumulate and actually make a body count for those people who are the products of our public schools.
Recently divorced and having financial troubles.
Oh, man. A whole bunch of them.
A whole bunch of them, right?
That's right.
So this morning I wake up, I'm preparing for the broadcast, thinking I'll be dedicating a significant amount of time to this brazen terrorist attack at Fort Hood that's got me so angry, I want to fly down there and kick the guy's door in his hospital room and choke him to death right there in his bed. That's how angry I am. But I'm a civilized man.
Good.
So I expected that the entire broadcast would be dedicated to this horror at Fort Hood. But another horror has unfolded. Orlando, Florida, authorities have apprehended a gunman who entered an office building there in Orlando, and he shot six people. He killed one of them. The victims were all employees of the company where this fellow apparently worked a couple of years ago. Jason Rodriguez formerly worked at Reynolds Smith and Hills, an architectural and engineering firm. Rodriguez had recently filed for Chapter 7 bankruptcy back in May of this year.
Yeah, apparently he's blaming somebody back then for something that happened years ago.
Well, this is the state of domestic tranquility here in the United States, Daryl. Our justice system and the politicians that we elect, because they're so nice, they tolerate a certain level of mayhem, murder, and bloodshed. They tolerate it. And so this is what we get. Almost a daily example. In fact, I would say there's a daily bloodbath in the United States somewhere every single day.
That's right.
You can barely keep up with it. Listen to this. Pataskala, Ohio. Ever heard of Pataskala, Ohio?
I used to live in Ohio, and I never heard of it.
Okay, so it's like the heartland, okay? I mean, it's the buckle of the Bible Belt. It's the middle of the country. An Ohio man fatally shot his wife, his son, and himself. He'd been having some big business troubles. The killer's name was John Eckerd. He killed his wife, Nicole, and his son, Nicholas, shot his wife and son once in the head and then killed himself.
Man.
Yeah. He'd been having financial trouble. So we're at a point now, and this was predicted years ago by Bob Enyart. I remember listening to Bob 12, 15 years ago, predicting that the toleration of murder in our nation, and you can start with abortion killing innocent children in the womb, and you can go all the way up to murderers being allowed to live when they should be executed. This level of tolerance is only going to lead to an increase in the frequency and the intensity of attacks of murder suicide specifically here in the country. And Daryl, I can assure you that Nidal Malik Hassan, he had no intention of surviving this.
One of the questions that was asked on the media yesterday about that attack was, is this an isolated incident? Well, what happens is, it's only an isolated incident the first time it happens.
That's a good point you bring up, Daryl.
Because Bob has made the parallel about the murder-suicides.
Yeah.
It's become an epidemic.
October 16th, 1991, George Hennard smashed his pickup truck through a Luby's cafeteria window in Killeen, Texas, killed 22 people. March 4th, 1998, Andrew Golden and Mitchell Johnson killed four girls and a teacher at Jonesboro, Arkansas Middle School. April 20th, 1999, Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold killed 12 classmates and a teacher, wound 26 others at Columbine. July 29th, 1999, day trader Mark Barton killed nine people in a shooting in Atlanta, Georgia. March 12th, 2005, Terry Ratzman gunned down members of his congregation as they worshiped at the Brookfield Sheridan at Brookfield, Wisconsin, killing seven and wounding four before killing himself. March 21st, 2005, student Jeffrey Weiss killed nine people, including his grandfather and five fellow students, before killing himself. October 2nd, 2006, Charles Carl Roberts shot to death five girls at West Nickel Mines Amish School in Pennsylvania, then killed himself. April 16th, 2007, Cho Sweng Hui fatally shot 32 people in a dorm in a classroom at Virginia Tech. December 5th, 2007, 19-year-old Robert Hawkins opened fire with a rifle in Omaha at a Van Maurer store in the Westroads Mall, killing eight people before killing himself. February 14th, 2008, former student Stephen Kaczmarek opened fire in the lecture hall at Northern Illinois University, shooting five students, wounding 18 others, killing five students, wounding 18 others before committing suicide. March 10th, 2009, Michael McLendon killed 10 people, including his mother and four other relatives in a rural Alabama county, then committed suicide. November 5th, 2009, a 41-year-old man opened fire at the community center in Binghamton, New York, killed 11 immigrants, and then killed himself. So is it an epidemic? Is that an isolated incident, Derek?
Doesn't sound like it to me.
Doesn't sound like it's an isolated
incident
anymore.
Sounds like it's spreading like wildfire.
This is the state of domestic tranquility in the United States of America, and the governing officials whom we have duly elected to represent our will seem to have a tolerance level for bloodshed. Well, let me just put it this way, Daryl. I don't want to tolerate this level of bloodshed in my nation.
But they're sad.
I'm sure they're very sad, and they're all weepy and in tears today. Well, they should be angry. They should be starting to get fed up with the level of violence. It reminds me of the line from the Bible when God looked down and before the flood and the earth was filled with violence. I don't care if we're a nation of 300 million or 300,000. This level of bloodshed, just going back over the last 10 or 20 years, is simply unacceptable.
That's for sure.
I would think it would be unacceptable. But apparently it's not. Our governing officials seem to be more worried about how to kill more people. And why do I say that, Daryl? I was reading through Nancy Pelosi's government health care bill.
Oh.
Now, I read a post from, let's see, he's a Republican. I didn't write his name down because, well, he's just a Republican. I don't generally keep track.
That's right.
Whoever is the Republican leader in the House, Boehner, isn't that his name?
I believe so.
So Boehner, here's what Boehner claims, and I actually read, there's a PDF of the actual bill, and I read it, and it seems like Boehner's onto something here. He says Nancy Pelosi is using the federal takeover of health care as an opportunity to use federal funds to pay for abortions. He says elective abortions.
I think that's true. I think if it came down to it, if that part of it was removed from the bill,
yeah,
I think she wouldn't vote for it.
Okay. Well, he says on line 17, page 110, section 222, under abortions for which public funding is allowed. So that, I mean, that pretty much says it, that heading right there. The Health and Human Services Secretary, who is that now? What's her name? Do we remember the name of the Human Services? What's her name? The Health and Human Services Secretary?
She knows how you're supposed to sneeze.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of her name.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. Who cares what her name is? Anyway, she's been given authority to determine when abortion is allowed under the government-run plan. According to Boehner, the Speaker's plan also requires that at least one insurance plan offered in the exchange, you know, they're going to do this public insurance exchange, at least one plan has to cover abortions. And a monthly abortion premium will be charged for all enrollees in the government-run plan, the so-called public option.
Now, when they say exchange,
yeah,
is that like involve your soul?
Yeah, I think it does. It involves an exchange down at the crossroads, you know, where all those blues guitar players went.
Right.
Same place. Yeah, there's an exchange going on, all right. Let's see. He says that this monthly abortion premium will be a minimum of $1 paid by every person who's involved in this government-run public option. It'll be a minimum of $1 a month. He says that's on line 16, page 96, section 213. So I went and looked at these, and it looks like, you know, I generally don't trust Republicans. But it looks like Boehner has accurately read through some of the, how many thousands of pages is this thing? Is it 1,000 pages
long? It's a lot. It's a stack.
It's quite the stack. He's had staffers reading through this, and they've read it pretty accurately. So federal funds, this dollar a month minimum premium that everyone will be charged, these funds will be used to pay for, among other things, what he calls elective abortions. I'm wondering what an elective abortion is. Because I've been working with doctors for about 10 years, Daryl. I have never heard of an incidence in which it's necessary to kill the baby to save the mother.
Nope.
It seems to me that, now sometimes it is necessary to remove the child
from
the mother.
That's right. That's called birth.
Well, and
no matter what age, that's called birth.
Well, sometimes it's necessary to remove a child who can't survive outside his mother from the mother.
Sure.
In order to save the mother's life. But the intent of the doctor is never to kill the child. We simply don't have the technological advancements yet to live. So it is necessary to remove the child from the mother, but it's never necessary to actively kill the child to save. So I'm not sure. I don't like Boehner's use of the word elective abortion.
That's right.
Because I think anytime someone chooses to kill another innocent person, they've elected to do that. So there's no real separation in my mind.
There's no reason why a child, there's no medical reason, let's put it that way. There's no medical reason to save the mother that you would have to dismember a child, you would burn a child.
And if we're wrong about that, ladies and gentlemen, please give us a call. I would like to be set straight. Right, Daryl? If we're wrong, we would like to know. When is it necessary to actively kill the child to save the mother's life? If you can help us out with that, we'd be glad to take your call. Now, good news, a bunch of anti-abortion activists have been arrested at Nancy Pelosi's office. They trashed her office. Yeah, U.S. Capitol Police today arrested a dozen anti-abortion activists outside of Nancy Pelosi's office, charged them with unlawful conduct, disorderly conduct, and unlawful entry. These are the kind of people I like to
hang out
with.
Where'd they go?
They went into Nancy Pelosi's office and they trashed the place.
Cool.
Those arrested were objecting to language in the health care overhaul that they said would allow federally subsidized abortions. All right, maybe we're going to be corrected. Let's go to the phones. Dean in Kansas on line 26. Speak your mind.
Hey.
I'm with you. Bring it.
Her name is Kathleen Sebelius.
Kathleen Sebelius. Thank you very much, Dean.
She used to be our illustrious governor.
And is she pro-choice, Dean?
Yes, she is.
So are you uncomfortable with her being given the authority to determine when abortion is allowed under the government-run plan?
You better believe it. She was a good friend of old Dr. Taylor.
Is that right? Well, I'm uncomfortable with her giving the authority to run a hot dog stand then, Dean.
I know. She was one of the worst governors we ever had.
It doesn't surprise me that a good friend of George Tiller, late-term abortionist, who has recently been dispatched to meet his maker, it doesn't surprise me that a good friend of his finds herself in the Obama administration receiving authority. Dean, thank you very much for calling and helping us out with that.
I want to ask you a question.
Lay it on me, Dean.
Is it possible for you to send me that list of mass killings you just said?
You know what, Dean? I'm going to link to it on our website so that anyone who wants it can download it. And that's just a short list, Dean. It's not all of them.
KGov?
You go to KGov tonight, I'll have it up there for you, Dean.
Okay.
Hey, God bless you, brother. Thanks so much for your call.
God bless you.
So we've got the brightest audience in the nation.
That's right.
Kathleen Sebelius. Sebelius? That sounds like something they remove from your spleen to prevent further damage. Sebelius. I hate to tell you this, Doug, but you've got Sebelius. Oh, we're going to have to get in there right away, and we're going to have to get that
it's
out.
It's an acute case.
Now, other big news, Sarah Palin is going rogue. A former Alaska governor is she's going to deliver remarks tonight at Wisconsin at a Wisconsin Right to Life event. That's going to be her first really big speech since she escaped politics there.
Now, what do they mean when they say she's going rogue?
Well, I guess she's going to go to mid-sized cities on her book tour. She's not going to New York or L.A. She's going to go to, wherever this is in Wisconsin, probably a town no one's ever heard of. And she's going to speak to right-to-lifers. That's rogue to the Republicans and the Democrats.
She's going to pretend to be a conservative.
Well, we don't know. Now, I've got high hopes for Sarah Palin. Now, Daryl, don't count Sarah out yet.
Okay.
Now, Sarah has not yet been reached by the personhood movement. And Sarah wants to separate herself from the mainstream politics as usual crowd. So she has an opportunity because once her book comes out and she hits the road, her pro-life credentials are going to be out there for all the world to see.
That's for sure.
You know, and there are going to be events occur that are going to let people know around the country and in the national media just where she stands on the right to life and the issue of what is it that's in the womb there when a woman's pregnant? What is it, Daryl? Is it a child? Is it a dog? Is it a mass of cells? Is it a tumor? What is it?
It's a human being.
That's the only question we're asking. So someone's going to get to ask Sarah that question. Maybe one of our compatriots in Wisconsin. We've got a few. Maybe they'll get a chance to ask her that tonight. Wouldn't that be great?
It would.
Anyway, I'm going to pray for Sarah Palin that she sees the light on personhood and sees that it's a way to separate herself as a true conservative from the milquetoast Republicans that basically hate her guts.
I'll join you in that.
You know, they hate her because of how conservative she is. So why not become more conservative, Sarah?
Be a real one.
Come on in, Sarah. The water's warm. All right. Now, we're almost out of time. I want to end. We've been talking about justice a good bit this week. Do you remember Barry Scheck?
I do.
Where do you remember Barry Scheck from?
He was the lawyer for Dr. Death, right?
I don't know if I remember him from O.J. Simpson's trial.
Okay.
That's where I remember Barry Scheck from. I remember Barry Scheck discrediting DNA evidence day after day after day on the O.J. Simpson case.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Barry Scheck is the leader of the so-called Innocence Project.
Right.
They helped this fella, William Dillon, get released from prison down in Florida. This fella is now trying to get, I don't know, a couple million dollars out of the state of Florida because they put him in jail for 20-some-odd years. I'm going to assert a prediction right now, and we may not be able to figure this out until Judgment Day, but the Innocence Project, so-called by Barry Scheck, has released about 200 convicted murderers.
That's right.
My prediction is on Judgment Day, the vast majority of those people are guilty.
That's right.
They're guilty, and just because one piece of evidence separated them from the crime, we don't throw out the whole case, but Barry Scheck has intimidated prosecutors all over the country, and there's going to be a specially hot place in hell for Barry Scheck if he doesn't repent.
Yes, the absence of DNA is not evidence.
That's my prediction. I mean, Barry, come on. I mean, who are you trying to Scheck and jive here, Barry? All right, that's it. We're out of time. This is Doug McBurney and my other brother, Daryl. Thank you, KLTT. Go to our website, kgov.com.
Maranatha Christian School.
What a great school in Arvada. And as Bob would say, and Bob will be back soon, do right and risk the consequences.